Can everyone hear me okay? At the back there, yes, excellent. So as Will said, my name is Amber, and it's a great privilege to be able to speak here today as we're gathered all together to worship. And we're going to take another glimpse at the life of Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples. So before we begin, I'm going to pray for us. But this is a prayer where we need to keep our eyes open, because there are some actions. So if you'd like to come and help with the actions, I've asked Georgina and Rufus and Daisy if you wanted to come too, if you want to come up to the front, to help with some actions, so as quick as you can. Good job. And the rest of us will need to keep eyes open and have our hands ready for this short prayer. Do you want to come up here? Good job. Well, guys, okay, you ready? Facing the front? Okay, so we're going to pray with our hands, and this is our prayer. Lord Jesus, give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to respond to you today. Amen. Good job, guys. Thank you. Take a seat. Okay, so today we're going to start off with a quick game, okay? And for this game, we're going to need three volunteers. But before you say anything, not just any volunteers. Okay, these volunteers need to be people who are good at talking. If you know anyone who is good at talking and can talk lots and can talk quickly, this is the game for them. Okay, so in a minute, I'm going to ask for three volunteers. And if you're familiar with this game, Radio 4's Just a Minute, this is going to be a version of that. The aim in our game is to try and talk for 30 seconds straight without hesitation. So that means no pauses, no ums, ers, without repetition, and without deviation. So that means sticking to the topic. Okay, so we're going to need three volunteers who think they might be up for this game to have a version of Just a Minute and can talk quickly without hesitation, deviation, or repetition. Okay, and you'll find out your topic when you come up. So can I ask for three volunteers, anyone who's interested? Okay, we have Peter. Want to come on up? Alison, thank you. Oh, Jude, do you want to give it a go? Good job, well done. I'm going to need the mic. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Come and line up and face the audience. They'll be very friendly and smile lots, I'm sure. Excellent. Jude, do you want to go in the middle? Okay. Thank you, our brave volunteers. In a minute, I'm going to click the clicker. Our topic will appear on the screen. And on the screen, there'll also be a countdown timer. The timer is going to be for 1 minute and 30 seconds. That's roughly about 30 seconds each. I'm going to hand the mic to Alison. You get as far as you can, okay? If you're not sure what to say next, you can pass it on to Jude, who can give it a good go. And when you're done talking, Jude, you can pass it on to Peter, okay? Peter, when you're done, you're about to pass back to Jude and Alison and so forth, okay? Now, the rest of us need to be listening out. If you think there is too much hesitation, any repetitions or deviations, you need to call it out, okay? And they'll need to pass the mic on. Okay. So, are you ready? The topic's going to appear on the screen. And it is this. Who is Jesus? So our timer's going to go. Off you go.
Okay. Jesus is the Son of God. He was born in Bethlehem. He was a carpenter by trade. He died on the cross for our sins. He
Good job. Oh, there's an arm. Okay, pass on to Jude. What do we know about Jesus? What do we celebrate at Christmas time?
He was born in Christmas.
Fantastic. Good job. Well done. Do you want to pass on to Peter? We'll have another go in a minute. Well done, Jude.
Jesus was an amazing man. He lived a long, long time ago. He was born in a stable, but he grew up and became a carpenter, and as he grew, he learnt more and more about people around him. And Jesus' message was that he would bring good news. And that good news was...
Pass back to Jude. Okay, Jude, what do we celebrate at Easter time? What do we celebrate at Easter? When Jesus died.
Jesus died on the cross in Easter.
Good job, what, Jude? Do you want to pass on to Alison? Do you want to say something else? Well done.
Thank you.
And then you've got 12 seconds.
Okay, Jesus performed lots of miracles. He healed people. He changed water into wine. He...
Let's give them all a round of applause. Well done, guys.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Well done, Jude, Alison and Peter. Thank you. Okay, now, when we gather to worship... When we gather to learn from God's word, you might have noticed it's all about Jesus. Even when we're looking at an account from the Old Testament, which was from before Jesus came, everything points to him and everything links back to him. So today we're asking the question, well, if it's all about Jesus, if he's the one we're pointed to, if it's whom we worship, why? Who is he? So we've already heard today a number of different answers to who Jesus is, what he did when he was here on earth. And we often refer to him as our Lord, our Saviour, our friend, our King. So today we're going to have a look at what happened when Jesus asked his friends, the disciples, exactly that. Who am I? So Emma's going to come up and read out for us now our passage. It's going to appear up on the screen. It's from Matthew 16, and this version is the contemporary English version that Emma will be reading, which I'll get for you.
When Jesus and his disciples were near the town of Caesarea Philippi, he asked them, "What do people say about the Son of Man?" The disciples answered, "Some people say you are John the Baptist, or maybe Elijah, or Jeremiah, or some other prophet." Then Jesus asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter spoke up, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus told him, "Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed. You didn't discover this on your own. It was shown to you by my Father in heaven. So I will call you Peter, which means a rock. On this rock I will build my church, and death itself will not have any power over it."
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to spend the next few minutes just looking through bits of this passage. I'm sorry, it's quite small on the screen there. You'll be able to look it up in your Bibles if you wish. The number is on the service sheet, but it will be a slightly different translation. So to start with, Jesus asks his disciples quite an odd question. He says, "What do people say about the Son of Man?" But really, it's another way of him saying, "Who do you think I am?" Because the Son of Man was a prophetic title that Jesus used to refer to himself. Now, by this point, when Jesus asked the disciples this, the disciples have been friends with him for around 2 years. So they've had 2 years of following Jesus, of eating with him, sleeping, waking, travelling, talking with him. They know him well. And it's about 6 months before the point that Jesus will die on the cross and rise again. So after Jesus has been spending this much time with the disciples, about 2 and a bit years in, he asks them, "You know who I am, right? So you've spent time with me, you know me. Who do you think I am?" And of course, we know that Jesus wasn't asking because he didn't know what they thought. The Bible makes it clear that Jesus knew what was in people's hearts and in their minds. So if Jesus already knows what the disciples are thinking, this question is for them. It's for their benefit, not Jesus's. It's an opportunity for them to step out in faith and confess who they know him to be. But the disciples don't do so well at first. They did what I do when somebody asks me a bit of a complicated question that I don't really want to admit I'm not too sure on. They stalled. They started talking around the subject instead. They said, "Well, this person thinks this, and maybe others say that about you." But Jesus isn't interested in hearing what other people say about him. He wants to know what they think. And eventually, One particular disciple, Simon Peter, answers properly. Now, we quite often just call this disciple Peter. That's how we know him. But actually, he was called Simon. Now, can anyone tell me? This is a good question. It will be hopefully one that some of Sitnik's kids will be able to answer. Can anyone tell me what the name of the four gospel writers were? Who wrote the four gospels? Shout them out. Great. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Excellent. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Now, I used to think that Matthew, Mark, Luke and John were the main disciples. I thought they must be the really important ones because they each wrote a gospel. So actually, I was really surprised to learn that firstly, Luke wasn't one of the 12 disciples. He wrote up his accounts from everyone else afterwards. And that actually, Simon Peter was one of the key disciples. And we know this because his name often appears first in the list of disciples. And some really significant interactions take place between Simon Peter and Jesus, today's passage being one of them. And actually, a lot of people think it was very likely that Simon Peter was somebody who helped Mark write his gospel. So we looked at Simon Peter a little bit last week, how he walked out to Jesus on the water. So before we move on, we're going to stop and we're going to have a quick brainstorm. What we already know about Simon Peter. Because if he's Jesus' best friend, one of his really close disciples, by getting to know Simon Peter a little better, we can know Jesus a little better in understanding their interactions. So, in a minute, I'm going to click go on the timer, and we'll have 1 minute for you to chat to the people around you to come up with all the bits that you can remember about Simon Peter. Okay, we'll have 1 minute to discuss, and then we'll feed back. Okay, so we've got 1 minute on the clock. Off you go. Okay, our time is up. Our 1 minute is up. And from all the conversation, I assume that there are lots of different bits that you know about Simon Peter. So would anyone like to share some of the bits? Just shout it out as loud as you can. Chloe? Absolutely, he followed Jesus. He was one of Jesus' good friends. Thank you, Chloe. Joseph? He was a fisherman. Excellent, well remembered. Anyone else? Pardon? Okay, not to borrow. Anyone else? What do we know about Simon Peter? He had a mother-in-law. Excellent. a habit of talking before he thought. Yes. Yes, he's also called Rock. Well, remember, Sam? Anyone else? Thank you. Tradition has it that actually Simon Peter was crucified upside down. Yes. He denied Jesus 3 times. He did. Thank you, Tally. He cut someone's ear off. He did. And we'll have one last one and then we'll move on. Jesus asked him 3 times, do you love me? Absolutely. After he denied him, he asked him 3 times again. Fantastic. Okay, well done, guys. Seems like together we know quite a lot about Simon Peter. We said that he's a passionate and a bold man, sometimes a little rash, talking before he thinks, cutting people's ear off. And in fact, he is the only disciple that we know who ever refused Jesus and tried to tell him off as well. So clearly, Peter is comfortable enough around Jesus to argue with him. They're good enough friends. He's a rich and a complex character, and that means that a lot of us can relate to him in one way or another. So, knowing all that, let's jump back to the moment where Simon Peter tells Jesus who he is. Where Peter replies, he says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, Messiah means the sent one, the one they were all waiting for. And this is the first moment in all of history that it is recorded somebody declaring that, recognizing it and saying it out loud. Do you know, it must have been really hard for them to understand at the time. It can still be hard for people to understand now. Jesus was a man. How could he be the Son of God? The thing is, Peter had spent time with Jesus. He knew him. And the more time we spend seeking Jesus, even with our doubts and uncertainties, the more powerfully we realise who he is. And notice that despite this, Peter doesn't say, I think you are, or I believe you are. He just says, you are. He recognises that what we think or feel doesn't change something being true or not. So Peter makes this great confession, this great statement about who Jesus is. And he hears these words back in return. Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed. He uses his big formal name. I don't know about you, but I only tend to be called by my full name at really important times or if I'm in trouble. And when I was little, I used to be really glad I didn't have a middle name. Because if somebody's telling you off with a middle name, it sounds much more serious. So we use people's full names to signify the gravity or the importance of a situation. And here, Jesus isn't telling Peter off. He's using his full formal name to bestow a formal blessing, to emphasize how important this moment is. And he says that what Peter has said is so significant and true that it's evidence of God at work in his life. So he continues, I will call you Peter, which means a rock. Those are cool words. Peter is to be a rock for Jesus. And names are really important things. Perhaps some of you here know the meaning of your name. Hands up if you know the meaning of your name. Ooh, a few of you do. Okay, if you know the meaning of your name, turn to the person near you and tell them what your name means. Ask them what their name means. Off you go. Okay, 5 more seconds. I see a bit of Googling going on. Excellent. Okay, hopefully you've had a chance to share the meaning of your name. And if you're not sure, give it a Google afterwards. Now, name meanings matter to people. And they often seem to hold promise or hope for that person. And in fact, names are so important that in recent years there have been court cases where people have been banned from giving their children silly names. So these are some of them. Some twins in New Zealand were not allowed to be called fish and chips. Nutella was not approved by a judge in France. And other wonderful names like pie and sauce, one word, and Tallulah does a Halula from Hawaii, have also been banned. And they're banned because names are important. A new name signifies a new identity, a new life. And Simon's new name is Peter, which means rock. Now, this is actually the third time that Jesus has told Peter his new name. He told him straight away when they first met, you will be called Peter. And then again, when Jesus is chosen as one of the 12. And now, 2 years later, when Peter has confessed who Jesus is, Simon says, okay, I will call you Peter. The prophetic name he'd given him when they first met is now coming to fruition. Because now Simon Peter has declared who Jesus is. Now, Simon was one of the most popular names in Palestine at the time. It was a very common name. Jesus calls an ordinary man with an ordinary name to an extraordinary future. And he signifies this with his new name, one that wasn't even used yet. And he does the same for us too. In Revelation 2:17, it speaks of the new name that Jesus has for us, for those of us who recognise who he is and faithfully follow. It says, I will give them a new name. And a new name signifies a new start with God. But first, we must all answer the question he asks. Who do you say I am? That is the question that we have for us today. Who do we say he is? We're going to go into a time of prayer shortly, and I'm going to invite the band to come up ready, because after our time of prayer, we're going to go straight into some worship. But our prayer is going to be a little different today. We've got a clip that will play up on the screen for a few minutes. Some of you might be familiar with it. It's a speech called That's My King by somebody in America. And it talks about who the Bible says Jesus is. As we listen and watch it now, I'd like us to be praying for us to know Jesus better in the way that he talks of, and for others who we know don't yet know Jesus in that way. And perhaps you might like to use this time to reflect on where you're at with Jesus, how close to him you are, and you might like to share some personal things with him in your own heart as well. And afterwards, as I said, we're going to go straight into a time of sung worship. So as we begin this prayer time, using the clip now, I'm going to pray for us. Father God, please use this time. Help us respond to you and know you better. Amen.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him, for yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any they fought in him. Terror couldn't kill him. Death couldn't hang him. And the grave.